I want to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And this message today may be more along the line of history, a history lesson rather than a sermon. But it's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I had planned to show you two videos, but I'm so inept in doing those things. So here's what I'll do. On Wednesday, next, not this coming up Wednesday, but the following, I'm going to play the video about Bethlehem. If you want to see the church there where Jesus was born, drive through history, Dave Stotts, we're going to play that on Wednesday the 20th. And so please be a part of that. And today I had a song, and I saw last night on YouTube the most beautiful version of it, and it's Carmen. How many remember Carmen? But you know, I thought, well, I better back off of that because it's got a real rock and roll beat. And I wouldn't want to offend anybody. At the same time, it's a neat song. It's a long time ago in a town called Bethlehem, and I'm not telling you, that beat really goes. But I saw it with the puppets doing the acting, a little manger scene with puppets. So who knows, we might play that on the 20th too. We'll get way out there on Wednesday night and keep it conservative on Sunday morning. The coming Messiah, the book of Micah, 700 years before Jesus was born. Verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you'll bring anointing upon your word today. Lord, an anointing that will bless and strengthen your people. We need you. We need all that we can in putting into our lives, your word, your strength, your spirit. Lord Jesus, your direction, your help, your revelation, how great it is when we hear your revelation in our hearts and in our ears. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring revelation, that you'll bring strength, that you'll just anoint our prayers as we seek you during this time. We ask for Christmas miracles for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about Bethlehem. In the book of Luke chapter 2, I want to read the first, I guess, seven verses. Matter of fact, for sure the first seven verses. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him, no room for them in the inn." How many's heard this more than 2 million times? I know, it's a very popular, and especially at this time of the year, group of scripture. But it tells us the story of how Jesus came to the earth. And we see in Micah the prophecy pretty exact. Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a small little town. It's 6 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. And as the scripture says, you're a little bitty place. You're not much, but this is where my son will be born. And then we see the way that God brought this all about. He even got the Roman government involved. They say that the Caesar and Herod were at odds with each other, and Caesar said, okay, then I'm going to mix things up and have your people registered. They're going to be unhappy with you having to move around at Christmas time. Okay, I know that was before Christmas time, but, you know, it was in December. So it was a difficult journey for Mary, who was so ready to have her baby. The baby that was from God, the baby that was God. It was so difficult, travel time, about 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and a lot of difficulties along the way. It's not like they could book a flight on the next plane, but they were walking and riding, and she was riding a donkey. I don't know. I guess I've ridden a donkey in a baseball game. A donkey that was trained to throw you off. Donkeys are unpleasant at that time, and when they're trying to throw you off, and even if they're not, they're still not like riding in a limousine, right? So it was a difficult journey. And I've heard a lot of people say that Mary was very, very young, and that Joseph was probably a bit older, and maybe even quite a bit older. I thought, you know what, doesn't that work, that Mary is young enough to do that tough trip, and that Joseph is old enough to be wise and mature and to make sure they get there safely? Both Mary and Joseph's lineage would have taken them to Bethlehem, both. And I believe it was Joseph's that was through Solomon and Mary's through Nathan's lineage, both sons of David. So they were headed that way. In Matthew, when Herod wanted to know what's going on, when wise men came by, he sought the leaders of the priests of that day, and they in Matthew 2, verse 5, they said, so they said unto him, answering the question, where is this going to happen? They said, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. And Herod was insecure, and he was a pretty big mess when it comes to his security, and he wanted to make sure that no new person came along to take his job, and didn't understand that Jesus didn't come to take his job. Jesus came to die. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for us all. In the book of John, chapter 7, verses 41 and 42, it says, others said, this is the Christ. And some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So even in Jesus' day, they wanted to say, no, this couldn't be him, because he's from Nazareth and not from Bethlehem. But God orchestrated all that, and God spoke of that in the Old Testament, in the books of Isaiah and other places where he said he shall come from the branch, and he'll be called a Nazarene. So God, what I want us to understand is, when God has a plan, he has the power and the will to make sure that plan happens. And with all that was involved, and think about no room in the inn. How many's ever been traveling and you're going to a little ho-dunk place and you call ahead? Well, now we call ahead. Years ago, you just, you know, waited till you got there and saw the vacancy or no vacancy signs, and there was no vacancy or in this area. There was no opportunity for them to stay in the hotel. The inn they were going to was one that was for the poorest of poor people. Not much to it, but there was no room. And yet Joseph insisted and inquired and got a place in the stable, got a place which could be a little structure, could be a cave, could be just out in the open. But we understand that when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was put in a manger, which is a feeding trough for the animals. When you say hometown, what do you think of? My cousin and aunt and their family met with us last Saturday night, and it was a great visit. And my cousin said, "I want to go back to Kentucky." And I thought, that's my hometown, Harlan, Kentucky. I was born in the brick hospital there. Many people before me were born in their homes because that's the way they did things back then. But I was in on the younger generation of that time, and we got to go to the brick hospital downtown. Now, Brother Skip Kincaid, every time he comes, he says, "Oh, I remember that hospital. My aunt worked there. She lived in Everett and worked in the Harlan Hospital, and she took us there to eat and said it was absolutely the best food around." I don't remember ever eating there, but I don't remember. I was from there. We pointed it out. But that's home. To you, there's a different place. My cousin was born in Oakland, so that's her hometown. She was born somewhere in mid-Oakland, and yet her parents are both from that area, and I'm sure she'd love to visit. We all kind of have that sense of, I'd like to go back and see how things are. How many ever want to go visit your old neighborhoods and kind of check it out and see what it is? Jesus' hometown was Bethlehem. In December, the average temperature in Bethlehem is 57 degrees. The low, that's the high, the low is 45. It rains on average 11 days in December, and the snow day is an average of one snow day. We don't get any snow days here. I'm a little jealous of that. Jimmy Schweigert's ministry was talking about the snow they got this last week and walking down the road in the snow, and I was a bit jealous. I remember our Texas days, and we every now and again we got some snow, and it was really different. And it could snow one day and be 80 the next day. It was quite a range. But this city of Bethlehem has about 25,000 people now, and it's gone through a lot. Kind of founded in the about 1300 and some years before Christ, and it was taken over many, many, many times, off and on, by different groups of people. In 1948, after the Arab-Israeli War, the Jordanians took it over. And then in 1967, after the Six-Day War, the Israelis took it back. Some way or another, I feel happy about that. But then in 1995, there was the Oslo Accord, and that brought the Palestinian Authority into the picture. And I think they've had it ever since. The majority of the people there now are Muslim, and they really control it. You have to really go through the hoops to get there. I think I mentioned this last week, and it's a very, very difficult place. But there are some Arab Christians that really still hold up the fort and do everything they can to keep that Church of the Nativity, which one part of it is Greek Orthodox and the other part is Catholic. Pentecostals don't have a church there. We should. We should take it over. But I doubt we will, because we're kind of looking a different direction to where we're going to join the Lord. Amen? But the Muslim control today, and if you want to see, isn't this amazing? This is, I don't know if it's even right, but if you really want to see it, Wednesday night, we're going to show that. Wednesday the 20th. You come back to a Bible study. We'll have snacks. We always have snacks. Always have at least cookies and little cupcakes a lot. But we'll have that, and then we'll enjoy a time of fellowship. Now, and we'll see the movie and play records. Records. Vinyl records. I've got two record players. I may even get another one before then, because I still don't like the way they sound exactly, but I love those records, and you know, you can't get that first little sound, crickle, the crackle of that record, but you will the 20th, Wednesday night, 7:30. Well, Carmen's lyrics, I thought, well, you know, I can't play the song because it might offend somebody, but, well, a long time ago, in a land called Bethlehem, was born to Mary and Joseph, the great I Am. And they sang that Christmas morning, oh, a Savior has been born, and it happened a long time ago in a land called Bethlehem. Well, a long time ago, when the wise men roamed the land, they saw the shiny star above the desert sand. Well, they hopped the camels that night and rode by the pale moonlight, and it happened a long time ago in a town called Bethlehem. You kind of get the sound of it, don't you? It's kind of that rock and roll thing. Well, it happened a long time ago in Bethlehem. And they sang that Christmas morning, oh, a Savior has been born, and it happened a long time ago in a land called Bethlehem. King Herod learned a lesson. He learned real hard. You don't mess with the Son of God. Well, a long time ago in a land called Bethlehem, I said, a long time ago in a land called Bethlehem, well, the demons cried, they moaned and wailed, the kingdom got set back on its tail. Well, a long time ago in a land called Bethlehem. Well, I've repeated that enough. We're gonna stop. But that's the Carmen version. There's another song called O Little Town of Bethlehem. I want to give you the history of that. The story behind O Little Town of Bethlehem. December the 24th, 1865. Phillips Brooks. Now, I'm not mispronouncing his name. His name was Phillips with an S, Brooks with an S. And he was in Jerusalem in 1865 on a sabbatical from a pastorate in Philadelphia. He'd been pastoring for 6 years. He was about 30 years old. I won't tell you what my first impression was of a guy 30 needing a sabbatical, but that's all right, because he was pastoring a huge church, and he was pastoring at one of the most difficult times ever, and that's right in the middle of and the end of the Civil War. Very, very difficult. But on the evening that he was there in Jerusalem, and they were a lot of pilgrimages. Just a few weeks ago, we watched the story about Mark Twain being on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and all of his different thoughts and ideas. I remember his comment that the Sea of Galilee was no more special than the Lake Tahoe. So I guess everybody has their opinion. It may not be that much of a difference, but Jesus didn't walk on Lake Tahoe. He did walk on the Sea of Galilee. So that makes it special. So Phillips Brooks was pastor of the church in Philadelphia, the Holy Trinity Church. And he was on a break, and he decided that, you know what, I am so close on the 24th of December. He borrowed a horse. That's not like calling Uber. That's a little more involved. He borrowed a horse, and the people told him, said, you know what? It's not real safe out there. Between the distance isn't that long, but it's not real safe. There's thieves, there's all kinds of bad things that can happen, and animals and all. And he decided it's worth the risk. So he borrowed the horse just as it was getting evening time, and he came up on Bethlehem, came and looked upon Bethlehem just as the sun was going down, the stars coming out. And then he went down into the city, and he walked the streets, and he said he felt like, wow, it's the same place where Jesus was born. Isn't that amazing? To be able to be there, that's 1865, is a long time ago. That's a long time ago. But he was there, and as he was there for his sabbatical, he felt the peace of God and the spirit of Christmas. And he said, it's kind of like there sprung up a singing within my soul. Can't you just imagine that God's Spirit was really ministering to him? And with all of the things that he had gone through, he was beginning to feel the Spirit of God and lift it up. And his life had not been all that smooth sailing either, because he graduated from Harvard at 22, which is a pretty good accomplishment, isn't it? And he was teaching Latin at the Boston School of Latin, the Boston Latin School, whatever the name was. And as he was trying to get this subject across, how many's ever taught Latin? How many's ever learned Latin? The kids have words that they've learned in Latin. That's cool. Latin, Greek, it's all Greek to me. But, it's neat to know. The more you know, the better. So this young man was no doubt a brilliant guy, but he really had a hard time teaching Latin. And so he resigned and went to prayer and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he ended up in an Episcopal Theological Seminary, and he studied. He graduated in 1859, and then he was good. He was a much better preacher than he was a teacher of Latin. And he really, really became well known. And in 1861, they called him to the Holy Trinity Church. And the first thing that he did was he went out and he recruited the super salesman of Boston real estate, and his name was Lewis Redner, to be the Sunday school superintendent and organist. And they built up a wonderful, wonderful Sunday school where they had over 1,000 kids. You know, we used to have, not 1,000, but we used to have a ton of kids. And we have two now of the most precious. I'll tell you what, these are some of the best kids ever in our church. But we used to have a number, and it was such a blessed time, especially around Christmas. Remember when Sister Christine lined them up in the front and they sang Happy Birthday to Jesus? Oh, my goodness. And you saw some of the people that are in their 50s and 60s now were just a little mess back then. They'd goof up and all that stuff, but it was also adorable. If we did that kind of behavior today, it wouldn't be adorable. But it was then, and so kids are so precious and so wonderful, and we appreciate what we have, and we look forward to the Lord blessing us with many more. The church grew, and everything, you know, was really going well. And when President Lincoln was shot in 1865, this young man was called, a young preacher was called to officiate the funeral service for President Lincoln. And so this trip in 1865 was a few months after President Lincoln was shot. And he went on this trip, and he had this experience. And in 1868, when he had come back, and he had been renewed in his spirit, but what he came back to was all of the results of a long civil war and many people killed, and family members and many wounded, and the country going through the loss of one of the greatest presidents that America has ever had. And I'm not throwing that out as a debate question. I'm saying it as the truth. And I think that most people agree with that, and if you don't, that's fine. But what a terrible time for America. And when they lost this great president, And so Phillips was challenged to bring hope to the church in the midst of all of this darkness. And what he did was he looked back at the time when the Lord had touched him in Bethlehem. And it after reviewing his travel log, he come up with the words to O Little Town of Bethlehem. And then he gave the music to Lewis Redner. Did you think maybe Lewis would be brought back into the picture? And he said, Lewis, I'd like you to put music to this. And Lewis went to work, and it didn't come easy. It wasn't like it was the, falling off of a log or something like that. It was work for him, right? And so he on the 24th of December, he went to bed, and he kind of felt like a failure. This is Lewis. He, I just wanted so much to be a success. And then in the middle of the night, the Lord woke him up and gave him the tune. Has the Lord ever woken you up in the middle of the night to give you something? It's really worthwhile to open, to stay awake long enough to let the Lord speak to you, because he can bring such encouragement and blessing. And I don't know why he can't do it in the middle of the day, but that, I mean, he can do it then too, but it's God's call. If he's going to give you revelation, just cooperate with it. Okay, so on the 24th, and by the next day, he had the music to O Little Town of Bethlehem. And this was a hit for 6 straight years in the town of Philadelphia. But in 1874, the song was published, and it went worldwide. And then by the time that Phillips Brooks died in 1893, it was a worldwide hit. Phillips Brooks has a building named after him on the Harvard University today. O Little Town of Bethlehem. You think we're going to get by without reading that? No, 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 no. O Little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. You know what? In our time, I think things are, we've seen a lot of junk this year, no doubt. But we are blessed. We are so blessed. And yet the light still shines for us too. And for those who've seen such great darkness, the light of Christ is still impactful and so helpful, so beneficial. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human parts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in the world of sin, wherever meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Aren't you glad that the door is open for salvation? Amen. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us and abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Don't you love that song? I remember singing, the first verse is easy. After that, I kind of stumble. We should sing it more often so we really can get it down. But I love this song. This Wednesday night on the, what is Wednesday night? Whatever it is. The 13th, we're going to do O Holy Night, the story behind O Holy Night, and it's going to be exciting. I like that. That's one of the most beautiful songs that people could sing. Also, I wish I could sing that song. I wish I could sing any song, but what a beautiful song, O Holy Night, and you'll hear the story behind it. This is the story behind O Little Town of Bethlehem, but I want us to understand from all of this that God orchestrated the birthplace of his son, prophesied 700 years and even beyond that, that Jesus would come. But the location was named 700 years before. Debbie's been on my case finding out when I'm going to clean the yard up. She wants a plan. She said, "You don't have a plan." She's almost right. I do have a plan, but it's not much. But I've got to get it done this week or else I'm in big trouble. God had a plan that he could mention 700 years before and bring it to pass exactly the way that he had promised. It took the decree of the Roman government, maybe even an argument between Herod and Caesar. It took the ages of Joseph and Mary, the lineage of both, and all would land them in Bethlehem. just a few miles short of Jerusalem. Actually, from Nazareth, a few miles further, I would think. God gave us his son Jesus. And I think the story of Christ is one of the most precious. I guess God could have done it different ways. He could have sent Jesus as a 30-year-old man to just die on the cross. But instead, he sent him as a baby. He fulfilled all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. There were many, many prophecies. Every detail of both the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus was fulfilled perfectly. How many knows that we people mess things up? We get in the way. God says, go do it. And we say, eh. But God absolutely chose people that were going to do what he called them to do when it came to his son. And he called his son that he knew would be submissive to him and obedient to every detail and every part of the suffering on the cross. And everything that he did was for our benefit. And what we need to do is to return the glory back to him through our prayer, our life, and our praise. Bethlehem, though regarded as the birthplace of Jesus, is not the same that God has, the same regard that God has for Jerusalem. You say, how did we get to Jerusalem? I went from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. So stay with me now. This is the eternal city of God, where one day Jesus will come back and rule on this earth from this earth, and everything will change. All of the craziness that's in the head of man will be gone. Jesus said, forget it. Here's the way it's going to be. He will rule with a rod of iron if need be. But for the most part, people, and this is hard to believe, people are going to cooperate because the influence of the devil is going to be gone and only the influence of Christ. And for the most part, people are going to cooperate. The millennial reign, the kingdom age, and Israel will be so blessed. Anybody that stands up railing against Israel, watch out. God loves his city of Jerusalem, and he loves the people that he called. Have they been real obedient? No, they're really kind of poor at that sometimes. But God's going to call them back and give them another chance, just like he's given us chance after chance after chance. His mercy endureth forever. And you're going to see that with Israel, but Israel's going through one more beat up. This is going to be worse than all the things that have come. All of the Babylonian captivity, the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, all that happened with Hitler, all that's happened all over the world, it's going to be worse than that. But God's going to intervene and save Israel and Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to be the capital city of the world. Capital city for everything of the world. President Trump and his campaign promises. I heard this on Facebook probably. I like Facebook for a lot of things. I know it can be used in a weird way and in a bad way. But this I really liked because in President Trump's campaign promise, he said, I will make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, which is the eternal city of God. Now, when I heard that, sometimes, you know, you think, well, Donald Trump's just a businessman. But what he said was absolutely truth in line with the Word of God in an amazing way. So this past week, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. And he said, we're going to start work on our embassy there real quick. And that is going to be amazing. That's a spiritual thing. Whether it comes by a real spiritual guy or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he hit pay dirt with that in being in the will of God. I watched as all the presidents since Bill Clinton Every one of them spoke the words, I'm going to make Jerusalem the capital. Every one of them. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, all of them said, I'm going to make Jerusalem the capital. But they did not do it. Why? Because they were worried about the Muslims getting bent out of shape. What people need to realize is the Muslims are going to be bent out of shape, and they're going to stay bent out of shape until God changes them. And God will change them and give them a second chance like he's given Israel and all of the rest of us. God is merciful. And God created them as he's created us. God has a plan. So what I'm getting to there is President Trump kept his promise. And yeah, there's going to be some trouble. And yeah, the news media is going to promote it as Trump's trying to upset the world. I don't care what he's trying to do, but what he did do was set things right. Now, why does that matter? I believe it sets us up for the second, not the second coming is later, but for the rapture of the church. I tell you what, you remember how nervous we were in the 60s? I remember 63. Oh my goodness, Jesus is going to come in 63. And they had a lot of things, a lot of reasons that he was going to come in 63. And then the guy came and said Jesus, he reported Jesus was going to come in, I think, 84. Then he said, well, I missed it a little bit, and it's 85. And it went on and went on and went on, right, until he died. So I guess we don't know exactly when Jesus is coming, but we know this, that his coming is sooner than it was in 63. It's closer to us because we're down the road quite a bit. God has a plan for your life. It may be the rapture, or it may be other things. We don't know what God has in store for each one. But what we have to do is have faith in God and in his plan. Have faith in his plan. Because every one of us, your life is special to God. He sent his son to Bethlehem to be born and then to die in Jerusalem and to resurrect in Jerusalem outside the city in the tomb that he was placed in, the tomb of Joseph. He came back, he ministered to the disciples, and he ascended, and he said, I'm going away so that the Comforter can come, and he sent the Holy Spirit back to you and I. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But we need to have faith in God, because if he can pull this off, what he did with Jesus, he can do anything in your life. He can bless you. No buts about it, no ifs, no ands. Just believe in Christ. Just believe in God, because he can do anything in your life. If you have a need, or if you don't have a need, you have a life that needs to be guided by God, and he cares about each and every one. Debbie, would you come? One of the most important things to me is how do we end a service? How are we going to say our last amen? But today I want to pray. I want to pray for everybody. And then I want us to find us a place and pray. Because I think it's important to spend a bit of time before the Lord. I remember on Sunday nights around here, the platform was different. We had a few chairs up here. We had a couple of altars out front. And we had people that would pray at the altar, pray at their seats, or go on the platform. The young guys, maybe some of the old guys, I was young then, so I don't remember what the old guys did. We went on the platform. And then many others found them a place, and we got comfortable, and we sought the Lord. And boy, it was a good time. People were singing as we were praying, and we were getting a hold of the Lord. So what I'd like us to do today is follow that, but let's pray first. Lord, we are thankful for all the detail that you've put in to your Son coming to the earth to live, to die, and to be resurrected, to ascend back to heaven, so that today our souls can be saved, blessed, and Lord, that we might be able to walk in the understanding and revelation of who Jesus is. Lord, I'm thankful that this landmark decision was made, Jerusalem the capital, because it's your choice. Man has done different, but it's your choice. And I pray, Lord, that we will always agree with your word and honor, Lord Jesus, your will. This morning, that we would surrender all to thee, all of our life, all of our ways. I surrender all. Lord, I pray that you'll touch everyone, that your grace and your blood cover our sins, and that your mercy covers our living, and that we live in a way that'll be a light unto the world. Lord, bless us and give us strength during this Christmas season. And while there are many hurting, let us help as many as we can, and help us in every way that we need help. We pray, Jesus, your mercy and your glory, and we say amen. Would you find a place? You're welcome to sit right where you are and just bow your head or lift your head, however you want, and let's have a little talk with Jesus.